Roth a 6 da manhã.
Atenție, vă rugăm. David Roth este primul om de dimineață.
Roth, 6 a.m. Very consistent.
The other side of your pillow, baby. New York, talking to Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and a whole lot of other people signing up. 866-313-3733. And we're on the internet, davidleeroth.com, international, davidleeroth show.com. I guess we just finish up a little bit on Tommy Lee, right? Is this a hero? Is Pamela Anderson a hero? Or have we lowered the bar here? What about... What were we just talking about? Kelly Clarkson on
American Idol.
And do you think those are heroes, or are those just flash in the pan? What do you think, Robert?
I think they're flash in the pan, but you know, something else about American Idol that always gets to me is that, you know, Simon Cowell has these kids signed, sealed, and delivered before they go on, so that no matter what they do, he's the one who's cleaning up.
Oh, you mean that he owns the rights?
He owns the rights to everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so He, whatever they do, they're probably getting 5% of it.
At least 5%. Come on. Something like that is a production deal. They're going to make a lot more than that. This is the reality series. What happened to Fantasia, for example? Anybody know? You a Fantasia fan, Animal? Do you even know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I kind of know she is. She was pretty good.
She was okay. You know, she was a little downtown for my taste. But she made a record. And did the record do anything? Or did it just, you know, they splashed it, right? It didn't do anything.
It was splashed. I know she still has a billboard up. I think she's doing endorsements and stuff now.
You can make a living off of that, especially if you have a reality-based thing, right? Who else you know, who else was just in Page Six? Hold on, let me see it here. I think it's Carrie, whatever, from Star Wars. Signature Whore. That's the title. This is why I read Page Six. Paula, I love you. Rich, you guys got it right. Like many stars of yesteryear, Carrie Fisher has turned to lucrative autograph shows to make some extra cash. Hold on. It's probably her.
Who is it? I'm on the air, man.
It's my agent.
Okay.
Carrie Fisher has turned to lucrative autograph shows. I read that. But Fisher, best known as Princess Leia in Star Wars, is perhaps more self-aware than many of the showbiz fossils who sell their signatures at the shows. Hey, in a way, by accepting money for my signature, I have become a whore. Fisher writes in details. I have prostituted a token, a souvenir, a gesture of my goodwill. Well, I'd like a little better souvenir. And seen from an awfully odd angle, couldn't lovemaking also be regarded as such a gesture? She lost me with this. What is this? She, a desperate attempt to rationalize. Yeah, you're a whore, and I do business with you. What does that make me, baby? Makes me...
Clients?
the future's looking brighter every Red Bull I pour in me.
Roth, what are you up to now, Six?
Roth Radio, sea to shining sea. Okay, let's go from the top of the list. Pete, he wants to talk about... We'll let him express himself. Roth Radio, Pete, you're on.
Yeah, David.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
How are you? Listen, I just want to congratulate you on your show, and I just want to say that, you know, as far as this pop culture thing that's out there today, I think most of it is extremely driven by the media and definitely by dollars and the economic system that we have today, and especially in this country. But, you know, when I was a kid in the 60s and the 70s, a teenager growing up, I mean, our pop culture was not driven by money. It was driven by expression. It was driven by good rock and roll. And
what year are you reflecting on?
Well, I mean, you know, for me, see, I've got teenage daughters in college, so, I mean, I see the difference between their pop culture and my pop culture. My pop culture goes back to the middle, late 60s, early 70s, and as far as a teenager was concerned, and sex, drugs, and rock and roll was a happening thing. It wasn't like it is today. And,
why do you think the music today is so different than the way it was in the 60s, Pete?
Well... look, music back then had changed dramatically. You know, you were looking at a change from music from the 50s and what, you know, came about in the 60s. I mean, it was totally an expression of playing. It was a musician's music. Today, there's so much music out there, and I'm not saying there's not a lot of good musicians out there. I'm a musician myself.
So what you're saying is that there's too much choice fatigue, that there's too many options out there, and that good stuff gets lost, that the good apples get tossed in with the bad, and it's all disturbed into applesauce? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening. I think that's been happening for quite a few years now. But as far as Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson and all of them, I mean, they've all got their own position as far as, you know, where they are in their life.
And you think that they're a result, that their fame and their popularity, their heroism, if you want to call it that, is a result of the promotion machine and the publicity machines that are music business today?
Yeah, big time in a big way. I mean, the Hilton girls are, you know, I'm sure they're great girls, but if Conrad Hilton didn't start the Hiltons when he did, and their family didn't equate, you know, with all the money that they have right now, they'd probably be a couple of waitresses somewhere.
Just so, like Lady Di. I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. However, I do believe that the reason that music today is so very different than the music which was from, let's say, the 60s or even the 70s, is not so much the issue of the record companies or the way that the music is sold or promoted or whatever. In fact, I couldn't disagree with you more, my friend. I think that the reason is that kids today have nowhere to perfect their chops. Within driving distance of an hour and a half right from where I am in the middle of Manhattan, I wouldn't know where you could go find a bar to play top 40. Where else are you going to learn to play your instrument? Where else are you going to play songs to a live audience? And I don't mean your original stuff. Nobody would ever pick up a camera and go, don't worry, I'm going to be a genius at this by tomorrow. Nobody would ever pick up a paintbrush and some canvas and go, don't worry, I'll just figure this out on my own. Miles Davis did not just pick up a trumpet and go, wait till you hear this in 4 years. He had to go to Juilliard and do the homework, et cetera, et cetera. And what's going on now is that young people, A, don't have any place to do that because all of those top 40 clubs have closed. There's many places that you can play original material, but there's nowhere to go to school to learn the alphabet of music, okay? And a lot of that also falls to the hands of the parents, much like the folks, yourself and mine included, who haven't taught those kids that you got to stop cutting the corner. Speak to that, if you will, my friend.
Yeah, well, I agree with that in that respect, but you got to remember something, too. Back then, we were garage bands. We grew up as garage bands. And you know, I mean, my parents, my father, my mother, and everybody, you know, that we, you know, that had anything to do with our life, you know, they let us play and, you know, take everything out of the living room and put the instruments and just jam out and, you know, play in the living room. Or in a, you know, I grew up on a big piece of property. We had an old barn. We jammed in there for years and, you know, just got real good. I mean, you know,
that still exists. They're down on the Lower East Side. Come on, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday nights, every third opening to a basement, which is right in the sidewalk like that, has a band playing in there. It's like something out of a movie. If you move over towards such and such street, it's all Puerto Riqueño. It's all Boricua, Tropical. If you move four blocks inward, it's all thrash punk Green Day. If you move north, you get into Bluesville. And if you turn left, I hope you speak Creole because it's Haitian. Okay, so there's still a lot of people wood shedding or basement shedding or doing whatever in there. How come the music that comes out of there isn't making the pronounced kind of impact, and I agree with you that it does not, like it did in the 60s or 70s? Go ahead, you're on.
You know what? I mean, because there's a lot, first of all, it's like anything else. There's a lot more people doing it. There's a lot more people. They're driven to do it today because they see the money. They see the glamour. They see this. They see all these things, but there's definitely a misillusion as far as, you know, the reality of it all, because the reality of it all doesn't always come down to, you know, where they expect to go.
Okay, advice.
I'm a musician that, you know, played for, you know, an accomplished musician in the sense that I started playing when I was, you know, 9 years old. I'm a bass player.
And did you ever seek any education in this? And did you play top 40 and whatnot?
I played that kind of stuff years ago, but I grew up playing Johnny Winter, Jimi Hendrix, and Led Zeppelin.
And are you playing for a living now?
No. I do play. I still play around with people, mostly jazz and fusion.
Okay, stop right there. Advice for all the young people who are planning to be musicians or get off into the liberal arts. Go ahead, in three sentences or left. You're on.
You know, try and get a good education. You know, my kids, I could have easily said, you know, let them be musicians or, you know, whatever, but, you know, I'm paying for them to have a wonderful education. Hopefully they can use that to their benefit and drive it forward. I'm fortunate enough to come from a wealthy family, and that has definitely helped in the sense that, you know, we have options and we have opportunities. But the point is that a lot of these young kids today don't have those kind of options and opportunities, so that they look in this other direction and they don't always find what they want to find.
Okay, let me interrupt if I may here. I think probably, and I'm going to put some words in your mouth here, you're talking about getting some kind of an experience, having some kind of encounter with an educational experience on your way up. And I'm going to go way to the left on this, and I'm going to go, I am so sick and tired of hearing all of these semi-mediocre talents howling out of my speakers who have nothing to talk about. How many more crybaby, please love me, I love you, you love me, you broke up, I miss you, you're the best thing I ever had. And you want to know why? Because nobody's living. Nobody is going out there and having a life experience. Nobody's putting any stamps in the passport. Nobody's concerned with, wow, go out and do something so you have an actual story to tell, Huckleberry Finn. Instead of this, okay, well, I'm so lonely in the hotel and it's life on the road, and you become so self-conscious. It's all about I, me, my, like the seagulls in Finding Nemo or whatever. It's just I, me, my, like that, and you don't have anything to sing about. You can go to school for as long as you want. You can learn as many chords and as many scales as you want. But if you have nothing to sing about, then it's all going to come out moon in June. That's what people routinely do in music. It's like they sit down and they try and make it up on the spot. Okay, fellas, I'll have it in a second. The moon, when? Let me see. How about May? Nah. February? Nah. I got it. The moon in June. Write that down, Hutch. Okay. The moon in June is coming quickly. Nah. The moon in June is coming right now. No. Keep taping. The moon is coming. I got to take a break. And that's what you wind up with, because if you have no stories to tell, and at the end, here's my advice, at the end of the big marathon, it's all Polaroids and drinking stories. And if you don't do that, and you don't have that in mind, then at the end of your big story, it's all hemorrhoids and kaopectate. Turn the music up. All right, I don't want to talk about Pam Anderson. Tom, you're on. Number 12, Roth Radio.
Yeah, Dave, you're the man, but I would like to actually direct this question towards Robin. I need a female perspective on this, because I'm not really sure. But do you know if Pam Anderson, I know she had two kids, she had some kind of operation or something, because she has, I swear, I mean, she's a beautiful woman, don't get me wrong, I'd take her in a heartbeat, but she has the most grotesque private part that I have ever seen on a woman, and I've had my share. You know, I look kind of like Dave, but man, I want to know what she had done, because it is so gross. I would break up with her just because of that. You know,
how do you know this?
Yes, how do you? Are you like looking through? Are you? Are you looking through the trico?
Are you her gynecologist?
I mean, it's so obvious. If you watch the video, the first close up they have. Of
old Lydia Thunderclam, huh?
That's the most grotesque. It goes all the way up to the.
Okay, all right, stop.
Okay.
Because earlier in the programming, I had to make an overt apology to Ashley Simpson's vagina. Okay. I did, and here we are making fun of another icon's vagina, and I just want to say that I have all the due respect for these genitals that any guy would, and that I am certain that given the proximity, and I know that I never shall have it, that Pam's also would smell like gummy bears and lilacs in its worst tennis moment, and that I am certain, and that I hope and pray on her behalf, that only the most noble, golden, and holy of scepters, and even black, animal.
Yeah, yeah.
I can only hope that the most noble, holy, golden, or black of scepters, and from those pristine walls shall only be quarterbacks and congresswomen. Pam, we love you. And we love your vagina. And whatever this guy had to say, I just wish we could turn back the hands of time, baby. Okay, not that much time. We have Nigel, who wants to talk about Tommy Lee, who may have some experience with that vagina. Number 14, Nigel, Roth Radio wants to know. Go ahead.
Good morning, Dave. I want to say that I'm very, very proud that you're on the radio, man. You are one of my heroes.
Thank you, sir.
Really, I mean, I got through a lot of bad times during the 80s by listening to your lyrics.
Thank you very much, my friend.
I wanted to say that the television has created so many plastic icons, and they're mostly for teenagers to follow. I'm 38, and strictly 80s. There really is no heroes for our generation left.
Yes, there are, but they're all on the Country Music Channel. He thinks I'm kidding.
So Pamela Lee Anderson Lee, if you look at history, you'll find that blondes are historically always made into icons. Before Pamela Anderson Lee, there was Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, but you know why all blondes? Do you know why blondes all have bruises all right around underneath their belly button?
No, I don't.
Because blonde guys are dummies too. This is conceptual humor. It may detonate in about three songs from now. But go ahead.
I was wondering if I may ask you a question.
Please do.
I'm a Negro who spins classic rock and roll, 1949 to 2000 and beyond, all vinyl. Currently, I'm not associated with any promoters, managers, or agents. And I was wondering if maybe if you decide to go back out on the road, if you'd be interested in having a Negro rock and roll DJ warm up your crowd for you.
This is an interesting issue. So you're saying that what makes you unique is that you're a Negro rocker?
Yes, sir.
Because I just want to say that what makes you unique, utterly unique, is that you would even use the word Negro on Martin Luther King's birthday. I gotta salute that. Because if I used it, Animal would snap my neck like a dry twig. Get back, Animal! Get back!
Stop him! Okay, man, I said like that, Dave. I apologize. I'm back.
No, you know what? As far as the opening act, I don't know if we're going to have opening acts, because now that I'm used to going for 4 hours nonstop, that B. Young can play virtually any music at the drop of a hat. See, we play a game with him. We start these loops without letting him practice anything. So it's like a contest. It's what keeps everybody awake here. And I'm doing this whole show on foot. Most of you aren't aware, but I don't sit down at all. Not once during any break, not during the week, nothing. I stand here and hover. I'm standing up and talking to you now. So ultimately, I don't know if there's going to be any more opening acts. Although people still expect an opening act here.
Club Dave.
Sorry?
Club Dave, we could use him.
That's right, backstage.
Yeah.
This is where we separate the rock stars from the groupies, folks. Don't go away. Roth Radio is live as you ever gonna get it, baby.
David Lee Roth, mornings.
Okay. Welcome to a special edition of Extremely Punked. I don't think that Ashton Kutcher knows we're doing this. But me and Robin and Animal are hiding behind a one-way window. You can hear outside, there's the waiting area of the esteemed urinary surgeon, Dr. Bob Leibowitz. Outside in the waiting area is our general manager, Tom Gisano, who thinks that he's just here for his regular prostate checkup. What he doesn't know is that Dr. Leibowitz is a longtime Van Halen fan who's decided to let us play this little joke on Tom. Now, Tom, oh, there he goes. He's going into the little room and he's going to change into that little smock. Now, what he doesn't know is that Animal and I aren't really doctors. We're wearing masks right now. Don't go away. It's really going to get good in a few minutes here.
atención, por favor. David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth.
Your attention, please.
Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
I was a butcher.
Going to war. Roth Radio. They don't play ukuleles over there. What are you doing? Roth Radio. Okay, this will light up the telephones. Do we belong in Iraq? Come on now. We caught a big wave on this last one on Friday. Everybody's got a thought about this. 866-313-3733. And I went online saying, yeah, you better believe we belong over there. Whether it's been handled properly, whether it's been mishandled, I don't know. Am I a Bush supporter? No. Am I a Kerry supporter? No. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. I don't think anything's different between the two. I know nothing about politics. I'm nothing but an old rock and roller. But I do know mediocre showbiz when I see it, okay? So give us a call, 866-313-3733. Do we belong in Iraq? I maintain we do. You know what? That's the gas station sitting right next door there. That's Kuwait. We do business with them. That's Qatar. We do business with them. That's Yemen. We do business with them. We do business with Saudi Arabia. We do business with all of these people, and it's our gas station. Now, if you want to turn off the gas, great. I'm all for you. We'll get Willie Nelson to show us how to hook our tour buses up to a soybean machine, and we'll ride around in a great cloud of bean whatever, and I'm all for that. You know, you want to drain the Arctic Circle or create solar panels or whatever, I'm all for it, but I don't have the sense that that's going to occur for us within the next fiscal year. And what's going to light those hospitals, okay? What's going to light all of those learning institutions? What's going to light the jails where they threw that bum who's just beat up his kid? Who's going to light up all of the research institutes? Who's going to light up the police stations or whatever? Because that's all fuel implicated. Take a look at yourself in the mirror. Mirror, mirror on the bathroom sink. What part of me is not fuel implicated? Everything is fuel implicated, from your haircut down to your wedding ring, from your socks to the nail the polish on the nails of your toes is fuel implicated. The Red Bull that's causing me to talk this fast is fuel implicated. You couldn't make the can, you couldn't fill it, you couldn't ship it, and if it got there, you couldn't refrigerate it. Call in 866-313-3733. Of course we have to be there. Come on. You shut off that fuel supply? Great. We're all going to live in teepees, right? You're going to use solar power? Even the panels in your solar power heating unit are fuel implicated. You couldn't paint it. You couldn't screw it together. You couldn't transport it. You couldn't store it anywhere. It has to be fuel operated. And that's what's happening over in Iraq. Weapons of mass destruction? Saddam Hussein was a weapon of mass destruction. In his good day, a day off, on Martin Luther King Day, he'd kill 500,000 people just for sport. That's a polo game for him. This is a guy who's ringing in somewhere around 2 million dead bodies that are in his own personal resume. You want to leave him dancing around the record player at the disco late at night? Of course not. He bumped into it how many times? Now you got to take him out back. Give us a call. 866-313-3733. And if nothing else, boy, are you going to be glad we have an airport sitting right next to Iran. That's right. I said it. Kim, talk to me. Iraq, Roth Radio, go.
Hey, Dave. How are you? Good morning.
Swanky, baby. Go ahead.
We absolutely belong in Iraq. If we weren't there, we would be fighting a war on American territory, and everyone should be grateful that we're not. We just waited too long to get in there, and they were able to move all their weapons. They definitely have them. And you know what? I don't care whether you're for war, against war. Once our boys hit territory and they're fighting, everyone belongs behind them.
They move like a SWAT team does. We're so used to the idea that we're going to have a war where we line up in two long lines, like the battle for Gettysburg or Bull Run or the battle for Mecklenburg. We're going to march towards each other like the Revolutionary War. That hasn't happened in decades, and it's never going to happen again. You have to think about our armies as functioning like a SWAT team does. There are many, many different neighborhoods, and if you don't create a presence, if you don't create some sort of interdictive value there that creates a distraction and that sells at least a little bit of fear, I got news for you. The newest experiences with terrorists are not happening in the United States, not because we're so good at protecting the border. Anybody who speaks Spanish can talk to you about that. It's our guys are great, but we don't have enough of them, and we're not security conscious enough to the degree where we can count on that. The only reason there hasn't been another terrorist action here is because they're not good enough, and they're going to be. With the internet, with what's happening in the flat world, information no longer has to drive up the globe or seep downward. It doesn't take time anymore. Information happens at one end. Everybody's got it, whether you're screwing together a new computer or an explosive device, whether you're putting together a plan for your education or the decimation of a whole nother country. The only reason they're not up here right now is because they're not quite good enough. I can tell you, they only bombed two buildings and this whole country fell to its knees. What happened to my economy? Who's responsible for that? There's 10,000 buildings on Manhattan alone. Two of them go down, and you can't catch an airplane to anywhere anymore. That's somebody's fault. And I want to strive to prevent having to depend on those people who provided that lack of structure in my country. You have to maintain a presence. You got to peddle a little bit of fear, or they're going to start ganging up and still start coming over here. You take six qualified SEAL teamers, six qualified special op guys from the Army, six guys from recon, and a little bit of a helicopter, and you could bring New York to its knees in 48 hours. They just don't know what they're doing. Give me a call, 866-313-3733. Matthew, number 8, go. Roth Radio wants to hear you. You're on.
Hello.
Go ahead, brother.
Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah, I had a cousin. He was a Ranger in the Marine, and whatever it is, whatever Rangers are.
Army.
And, They were approaching something, and they all got blown to pieces, man. And he went back after he got better, man. He's only 19 years old, and, you know, we got to be there, man. We got to represent like G.I. Joe, you know. Wherever there's evil, we got to go stamp it out.
I do believe that the sword can be a dangerous weapon, but the sword that cuts down evil becomes my friend.
Yes.
And I do believe that in terms of people going back to support each other, when we talk about the Paris Hilton nation, and we get calls back and forth about how kids today aren't musical, how the kids today are soft, kids today are babied or whatever. No, I'm the one who's slightly musical, babied, and soft. Kids today are stronger than ever, and all you got to do is look to what's in uniform out there. They're made of the toughest, best, coolest, most accountable, responsible stuff. And what they're accountable to is you got to start thinking ahead. Because if you don't create the presence and we stick our head into the dirt like an ostrich, what's the number one thing that happens to an ostrich when he sticks his head in the dirt, animal? Go ahead. What happens?
Hey, man, you just get your lights turned out.
That's the medical terminology. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Kevin, number 10, talk to me about, well, you go ahead and talk about it. Roth Radio, you're live.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you?
Go ahead.
Listen, man, let me get it out of the way. I got to tell you, a guy just called. It was 38. I'm 38. I love you, man. You got me through the 80s, too.
Okay.
Let me say that, all right?
Thank you.
Regarding Iraq, I guess my issue is, number one, you know, in this politically correct society that we live in, which, you know, I've got a big problem with half of that because it doesn't seem to get us anywhere. It seems to drive a wedge between everybody, but... You know, I got to say something not so politically correct. I really think that one thing we should do if we're going to be over there is we should take that oil. You know, I think as Americans, we've got something coming. We've gone through some serious loss, and I don't know why society's so milquetoast now. You know, I think we should get a little more primal than that, and we should go over there, and we should take it. It would solve a lot of solutions or a lot of problems for us. And if nobody likes it, well, you know, they're going to have to get the oil from somewhere, so they better shut up about it.
I think, I'm going to speak to that for a second here. I think going over there, great. As far as taking the oil, not necessary. Somebody else owns that. Somebody else lives over it. Great. It's theirs. Let's do business. Let's do business, and I will share with you the responsibility for protecting the gas station. Let's just simplify things. I'm going to buy all of your oil, Ahmed, and part of the responsibility is me and Animal, we're going to stand at the gate. And we're going to make sure nobody bumps into the stereo. And we're going to give them each 15 chances, and then Animal's going to snap his neck like a dry twig. Okay? I do believe that you don't just take it. It belongs to somebody else. Marvelous. But you say the Saudis have lied to us. So does my family. You say, hey, the Kuwaitis, they've stolen from you and you didn't know it. Yeah, I got blood relatives who've done that too. Hey, the so-and-sos, the people in Qatar, they say terrible things about Americans. A lot of this show, I'm saying terrible things about other Americans. What's new? What can we expect? Of course, it's going to be like that. But in terms of, you really want to shut down the hospitals? You really want gas rationing? You want to have brownouts while your little daughter's being born? Because during 1973, when we had the gas rationing, I was working as a surgical orderly down in the barrio in Southern California. And routinely, we had to rush all of the little infants out of the maternity, especially the preemies, because we were having electric brownouts. And back then, we didn't have any digital technology. And that was panic. You want to know the face of real panic? Let's see if we can get somebody from New Orleans on the phone to explain to you what happens to an emergency room when the electricity just goes out. We're going to go for a commercial.
Go ahead, babe. Say no.
David Lee Roth Mornings.
Okay. We're back here on Extreme Punked. And I'm David, and I'm hiding here behind a one-way window at esteemed urinary surgeon Jeff Liebowitz's office. Now, sitting outside in the waiting area is our general manager, Tom Gisano. And unbeknownst to Tom, he thinks he's going to have a regular yearly prostate checkup. But this ain't going to be any regular checkup. Dr. Liebowitz is an old Van Halen fan, and he's agreed to let me and Animal and Robin do a little special episode of Punked on Tom. Now, there goes Tom. He's going into the room. He's going to change into that little smock. Now, unbeknownst to him, me and Animal aren't really doctors. We're wearing these masks right now, and he thinks this is going to be a regular checkup. Unbeknownst to him, I've taken an Oryx vacuum cleaner, and I've reversed the engine polarities so that instead of sucking air, it blows out at an astonishing 85 BTUs per square centimeter. This is going to make Tom late for the dance. Wait till you see his haircut when we're done with this. Now, when he lays down on the bed, we're going to give him a second to kind of chill out. And then Animal is going to sneak in real slow-like, like sneaking up on a supermodel in a bar. And he's going to get him in the back of the neck like an old Alabama rattler. And Robin is going to apply the apparatus. Now, when I get an all clear, I'm going to lean over and throw the switch. Don't go away.
Roth, 广播电台, 早晨醒来的第一件事, 大卫电视。 是你的唯一, yeah, Ross Radio. First thing in the morning, Dev TV, nothing but yeah.
Roth Radio, we're going to war. New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, those cities are already at war. 866-313-3733. Do we belong in Iraq, Jack? Vic tells me no. Vic, Roth Radio, you're good to go. Number 8, get it, Touch. There you go. Number 8, you're on. Roth Radio, hit it. Did we lose him? Vic, are you there? Vic gave up on us. Mike, number 10, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Roth Radio. What's happening,
Dave,
Mike?
Dave, great job, you guys.
Thanks, man.
I'm loving the radio show. I'm a Marine reservist. I spent 9 months in Iraq in 2004.
What's your thoughts?
I'm kind of for and against it. You know, I'm going to back up my fellow service members. I think we're doing a great job out there. But I think people are missing the big point. It's not a war anymore. It's an occupation. I really think we need to downsize our force that's there and make it an occupying force. You know, there's just a lot going on right now. There's more good going on there than there is bad, but we're never going to see that because of our American news media and the propaganda they like to show for everybody.
Well, America loves to go to war, but then we never like to finish the job. America loves a good fight, but never wants somebody to finish it. We always support these actions. Next, we're going to go to Africa. You see Hillary Clinton over there. She's in Liberia. She's visiting Uganda and all of these starving poor countries. And she has every right to be there. And she should be there. And next, it's going to go, we got to give food to these countries. And I'm going to support that. Look, it's not my job to save the world. That's Bono's job. I'm just trying to save 30 or 40 radio stations. But I do know that you're going to want to feed these poor starving people, and I support that completely. But don't you take a grain of rice out of my pocket unless we have soldiers like yourself leading the way to make sure that it gets to the right people instead of the scumbag dictators and everybody who's causing all of these problems. And I'm going to use that same kind of ethic and apply it to the Mideast. What do you think, Mike?
Oh, I agree with that, but when are we going to start worrying about our own country?
We are worrying about our own country. What do you think puts the lights in the hospitals? What do you think puts the heat in the school systems? My mother hasn't been out of bed in almost 9 weeks now. She's in one of those places where the average age is deceased. What happens when the electricity runs out of the building there and everybody who's on a breathing unit or a ventilator starts going, gee, call the EMT? Well, we don't have enough of those. I am looking out for ourselves. Speak to that, Mike. I agree with that, Dave.
I'm also a volunteer firefighter. I have been for 12 years, and I fully back your all your opinions on that, too. I think I find it incredible that, you know, here we have a rock star on the radio, and he's an EMT. He's working New York paramedic, probably one of the hardest paramedic units to work for, and I think that's awesome.
I like the idea of a contribution a little bit, and I think that's what's happening in the Mideast there. You try to make a little bit of a contribution towards some kind of a stability, and even if there's no stability, you still have to maintain that presence. You still have to peddle a little bit of intimidation there, or otherwise things are going to get completely out of control. Now, you speak to this, if you would, Mike, wearing the uniform as you do. I've explained to people that in terms of military might, we define it in this way, and so do most countries. You spend lives or you waste them. Do you think that we are spending lives appropriately there, or are we wasting them? Go ahead, Mike.
No, I think we're doing the right thing, but it should be an occupying force right now. It is not a war. Everybody keeps thinking it's a war. It is not a war. We are occupying the territory that we took over. We got rid of their nasty dictator, Saddam Hussein. And now what we need to do is what we're doing, which is rebuilding their society, giving them something to live and work for. Yes, there are, you know, extremists out there that don't want us there. And you know what? Too bad. They're going to have to face the fact that we are going to remain there until we get rid of all those nutcases.
I don't think you'll ever get rid of all of them, but we're doing business with some very serious people there as far as our fuel demands. And until we've invented alternative forms of fuel resource, and I'm all for it, then this is a necessity. Also, let's jump ahead a few spaces here. Hey, chess, who remembers that game? Think six moves ahead when Iran goes combustible, and they're psychotic over there. Even Germany now is starting to line up. They are psychotic over there. Aren't we going to be glad that we have a landing strip that's going to accommodate all of that new coalition, because the whole world is going to line up against Iran? Gee, you don't think they thought of that when they first invaded, do you? Thanks, Mike. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. You're showing me a thing. Gina, is that it? Gina, you're on David Lee, Roth Radio. Go, go.
Hey, Dave.
What's up, Gina?
I don't think we should be in Iraq at all.
Why is that, darling?
You know what? A number of reasons. First of all, the Iraqis were not responsible for 9/11. I think that we should have sent somebody to take out Saddam years ago, but it's crazy. But they were not responsible for 9/11, and now the Pentagon admits between 30 and 50,000 Iraqis as casualties of war. That's too many. That's too many innocent people that have now died in the name of what? Oil?
No, in the name of hospitals, in the name of cancer research, in the name of prematurely born babies, in the name of education, because the cure for cancer, I'm going to bet, arguably, is going to come out of this country. I'm going to guess that the whole global village issue of how do we learn to speak Spanish? Should we start teaching that in the schools now that two-thirds of the country isn't from here? All of those kinds of innovations, food programs, taking care of the elderly, taking care of the disadvantaged. How about the abused kids? This is the country who's going to pioneer all of those elements first. And without the fuel, None of that's going to happen. Are you prepared to live in a teepee, sweetheart?
The point is that we have the money and the technology to get this other fuel. We do. Like, what about solar power or wind power or something else? We could do it. We have the resources. We have the scientists.
And I'm giving you, and I am giving you the spotlight so that you can say that. I will champion your cause, and I'm going to guess that none of that transpires until we start voting out these CEOs. Virtually all of New York is the land of the $1,500 baby stroller, the Razor phone, and the giant Starbucks coffee now. As long as we venerate that above all else, then it's going to be about what you're talking about. Go ahead.
See, this is what I think about. They're blowing up these kids and these women and these innocent men, these elderly men, whatever. They're blowing up all these people. They're asleep in their beds at night. Now, this means somebody's whole family is annihilated. So what is that going to do? That's going to cause more resentment, and now more terrorists are going to come from this, and they're just going to want to blow up the people who blew up their family.
Okay, so you think we shouldn't... Okay, so you feel that we shouldn't have done anything and that we should have just stayed home and skipped it, or should we just try to isolate this to Afghanistan? You figure just that little sand trap there and then come back home? Really?
I'm not exactly sure what the right answer is, but I feel like, you know, we're in Iraq, and where's Osama? You know, he's the one who did this. And you know what? If you flip the coin, all the Iraqis and the Arabs or whatever, they see, like, George Bush as a terrorist. And he's blown up a lot more people than Osama has. So if you flip the coin like that, then where's that putting us? That's putting us with a lot of angry people coming after us.
I understand. So you feel that if we'd done nothing, that everybody would be a little more copacetic and everything would be pretty much calm over there, right?
No, I don't think nothing is the answer. But I don't think...
Give us an answer.
I don't really have an answer, to be honest.
Well, there's your answer.
What's going on here in Iraq? Like, why did we choose Iraq? You know, why not?
You want to know? You want to know why? Because it's threatening the fuel supply. You know the phone you just called me on? My point exactly. Don't go away, Roth Radio. If you had a really good time today, tell a friend. If you had a really creepy time, tell an enemy. I understand we're still on contract for the morning. Who loves you? New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland. Congratulations, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, Yakima, you little slut. I didn't forget about you. I was pretending I was hard to get. I was hard to get, baby. I'm going to sing all the way to Iraq. I get up
and nothing else gets me down.
You got it tough. Woo! I've seen the toughest around. And I know, baby, just how you feel. You got to roll with the punches and get to what's real. You got to it, baby. Can't you see me standing here? I got my back against a record machine. I ain't the worst that you've seen. Hoorah! Can't you see what I mean? No! No! Might as well jump.
It's good advice, man.
Might as well jump. It's easy to remember.
Have it tattooed.
Go ahead, jump!
Go ahead! Jump on me, Sasha!
Go ahead
and jump. Hi-ho!
Hey, babe, how you been?
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.